I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I've been wanting to talk to you, Kevin Rennie, for a little while, ever since he basically, you know, wrote about Governor Lamont, and there's a bunch of other stuff to discuss as well. We welcome in Kevin from the Hartford Current, of course, Daily Ructions, live here on Brian and Company. Kevin, how are you doing?
Good morning, Brian. Nice to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you as well. It's been a while. There's a lot going on that I find interesting in this off season of politics, and I was, you know, reading some of your stuff, and I am curious, first of all, about your support of Lamont. I mean, is it fair to characterize you as a sort of a non-Trump Republican? Is that fair?
I have not. No, it is not fair. I would say it is not accurate. I have not been a Republican for some years now. Okay. And I certainly never supported Donald Trump and voted against him five times, including in two primaries.
So what your support of a third term for Lamont?
Yeah.
Go ahead. No.
Well, I am just repulsed by all that Republicans have become under Donald Trump.
So are you a Democrat, or are you just a...
I am an unaffiliated voter, like so many other Connecticut residents. Yeah.
Yeah, as am I. Okay, so state the case why you think Lamont should do this for a third term.
Well, I think he has been a really successful steward of the state's budget, which is a crucial characteristic in a governor. I mean, Governor Dan Malloy couldn't balance a budget on his own for 8 years. Ned Lamont has been in office when there have been surpluses, and he has prudently made sure those were applied to the state's really significant long-term debt. He's kept the growth of the state budget in check, and he's, for the most part, not completely, but for the most part, he's protected the fiscal guardrails that were bipartisan achievement nearly a decade ago. Those are significant achievements. And I think that we will continue on a road to economic recovery if he serves another 4 years.
Are you convinced?
I've written over the years that I voted for Ned Lamont in 2018 and again in 2022.
Are you convinced that he will run?
I am. I acknowledge I could be wrong. I'm not the best predictor, but all signs point to him running. I think he likes the job.
Yeah, I think, although it's become difficult, and this is the segue, we're talking with Kevin Rennie here on Brian and Company, segues into really my second question, which is, you know, Josh Elliott's going to announce he's going to primary Lamont, and there's several stories out and about, you know, certain Democrats getting primaried in the congressional delegation, you know, notably for me, you know, a young woman from Hartford primarying John Larson. And it seems the trend.
And I reported yesterday, Luke Bronin is giving serious consideration to primarying John Larson. And he has spoken to John Larson and told him what he's thinking about doing.
Yeah, and I think that the strategy is interesting, and I won't sort of get into why this is something I've thought about, but I think that if someone is strong enough, does that to Larson, and sort of the hope, I think, and I'm reading between the lines with Luke, because I haven't spoken to him about it, is to see if you can convince him to retire.
I don't think that comes from someone who's interested in taking your seat and filling your seat. That has to come from people who are closer to, in this case, John Larson, and from within himself.
Totally, but my thinking is that if there's someone strong enough and credible enough, he might be like, man, I don't want to go through this and possibly losing the primary. Oh. Let me go out on my own way.
Right. But it takes a while to show that. You have to get out there and show support and raise money. And that's time consuming. And that will be the test for any challenger.
You know, Ronan doesn't totally fit the mold, but it seems like the Democrats' response to, you know, both houses being Republican and President Trump in the White House is to move younger and further left. Do you see that? And if you do see that, do you think that that's a winning approach?
Well, you know, the challenge for the Democrats is in a seat like first congressional district in Connecticut, whoever they nominate is going to win in the general election. So you that's not going to be a litmus test. It's in, you know, it's in seats that are marginally held by Republicans, like Mike Lawler in northern Westchester County. Yeah. It's seats like that the Democrats have to win, and that they, you know, they've in New York in particular in 2022 they lost a lot of seats.
Yeah, there's no doubt
sorry.
About it. Kevin Rennie,
2024, excuse me.
Yeah, Kevin Rennie from Hartford Current and Daily Ructions, and if you want to read about the Luke Bronin stuff, that is on dailyructions.com. Quickly, I want to go through a few things. The Blue Hills, what you most recently wrote of the Blue Hills Civic Association. So they.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
They were defrauded out of $300,000. I don't even know what they do, but they certainly seem to have gotten a lot of money in the last couple of years. Is there possible more fraud going on there, or was this simply
a
victim?
Well, they're certainly the victims of that. It would appear they are the victims of that $300,000. A lot of this money was for what they call subrecipients. That is, then they provide it to other nonprofits in the area that they serve. It's not really clear how that's determined. But what happened was they still had about $1.1 million left when they belatedly reported that fraudulent wire to DECD, state agency. And then that state agency said, well, send us back whatever you have left. I'm not sure if that was just supposed to be money for other groups. I'm not sure why its loss caused them to have to essentially shut down.
Correct.
Because it was all going to, it looks like it was all going to go out the door to other groups anyway. So it's not all clear, and because there's an FBI investigation that appears to be ongoing, no one's really saying very much.
You know,
I was able to get emails from before it happened to try to piece some things together.
Yeah, I mean, this is the important stuff, Kevin, we need to know about that I wouldn't have known about had you not found it. So, I mean, I'm pretty appreciative of that kind of reporting.
Well,
I'm curious about Pura. I'm talking to Ed Mahoney, who's really been on the forefront of this story from
He really has.
Yeah, he's done a really good job. And I'm curious,
and
just
taken in considerable abuse for his, just taken abuse for his reporting.
From the governor's office type thing?
No, like Senator Needleman and Representative Steinberg, who will not produce the documents that the Steinberg's text clearly referred to in last December.
Yeah, I mean, if Mahoney's wrong, just show him that he's wrong. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Ed is not—he's not a sensationalist. Let's put it that way. So
that is true. I think that is a very good description. Yes,
He's going to join us a little later this morning. But real quickly, Kevin, we only have less than a minute. What do you think is going to end up happening here? You think they're just going to Gillette and LeMond are going to ride out the storm here, or is there going to be potentially are we going to find out? I don't know the truth, or is there going to be some accountability?
I would really despair if I had to give up the notion that we'll never find out the truth. And so I believe there's a deposition today of one of the parties in this, one of the Pure employees, and another one tomorrow or this week of Marissa Gillette. And I, you know, they're very talented lawyers that the utilities have hired, and perhaps something will come out of that.
Wait, so she's going to speak under oath this week?
Yes. She's going to answer questions under oath. Yes.
Yeah. And will we get access to what happens in that?
That won't be our decision.
Yeah.
That will be up to the parties. Yeah.
Kevin, thank you, bud. I appreciate it as always.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.